First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, oh God, letting go, oh God.
Hello. This is Doubter 5 at Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, live on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is March 7th, and it's 7 o'clock, so if that's not the date and time that you look at right now on your watch, then you're listening to a podcast or a rebroadcast. Anyway, we have Wombat on the phone as usual. Hello, Wombat.
FM not plugged in properly.
What?
Am I? Am I plugged in? Are we starting?
You are. You're loud and clear.
Sounds
starting. Good. A little too loud. It was all red over there.
I'm ready to go.
Or maybe it was me. I don't know. Anyway, with us we also have Heather. Say hi, Heather.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, you're doing real good. Real loud and clear. And Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show. I'm coming across a little loud hot myself on here. It's a atheist call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're not. There are several atheist and free-thinking rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll tell you more about that after our mid-show break. Also, did you know that there's an atheist call-in television show broadcasting in here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
Yeah, but I normally don't watch it. It's just a lot of fanfare. Who cares who they give the trophies to?
What? Huh? Trophies?
I just don't care. It's just a small group of people dedicated to advertising their own movies, and the whole affair is nothing. It doesn't really
one of these days you'll find the show, and you'll actually watch
no
the right show.
No black people to get awards.
No. It's on every Wednesday night. Matter of fact, it's on right now. It's from 6:30 to 7:30 on ctvknox.org, which is a community access cable TV station, or if you want to say it's Comcast Channel 12 if you've got Comcast. And like I said, you can see it every week. And the show has been broadcasting here in Knoxville for over 7 years. Very few people know about it. I guess it's community TV. It's just the nature of the beast. But we'll be talking about how you can watch that too, maybe even become a guest or a co-host. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing them right here on this show. Also, generally on the station as they are in rotation. Wombat, what are we talking about tonight?
We did a show back in October that was dedicated on why atheists care what theists believe, or basically why do we as a group care what you believe.
What?
And it was a big show because we were basically saying that, you know, people's beliefs lead to their actions, and those actions have consequences, and if they're part of the society, those actions are going to start to affect everybody else.
Right.
So it's important what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different theory, though. Like, there's always something else keeping close to my heart, because to be perfectly honest with you, I don't care what people believe at all. I don't care what they believe. In fact, what I care more about is why they believe it.
Oh, right.
And I found that from my expertise, or like from the things that I've been doing, where I've been going around asking people questions about what they believe and why they believe it,
huh?
So what they believe is always like the introduction question. And they can tell me whatever they want. But why they believe it is the core of the issue, because that's what motivates them to hold that belief. And what I'd like to do today is go through some, you know, quick little talk between you and me,
okay,
and Heather, and also show some clips of street epistemology of people getting to the root of what people believe, which is the why, and not so much just the what. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's fine. what have you been finding out about how the, what they believe and why? Why they believe.
So, when you talk to people who, like, have, like, very strong Christian faith, for example, and if you try to, and you probably have conversations with them where you ask them, you know, what made them so confident about why, or how they came to that belief. And they'll tell you, well, you know, God, back in the day, made Adam and Eve, and we have this Bible, and it tells us, you know, Adam and Eve from all the way to Joshua to, you know, the land of Israel, and then it, and they can recite the whole Bible in front of you, and that's great, but that's just what they believe.
Right.
What's more important is why are they convinced that that's true?
Yeah.
And if you can get to that claim, if you can get to the support of what they hold, the reason why they are holding that belief as true, then you can get to the deeper conversation of, is that method that they use to come to their belief, is that foundation to their belief a reliable way?
Yeah, there's an atheist in Texas, part of the atheist community out there. Atheist Experience is the name of the group, or the TV show. Matt Dillahunty has a phrase. Somebody will call in and they'll say, I believe in God. And he'll, right off the top, it says, what do you believe and why do you believe it? So we're getting to the nut of that matter.
Right. How about Heather? What do you think? What do you think is more important? Better say the second one. What you believe or why you believe it?
Yes, definitely why you believe it. I think why defines what.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a great way to put it. Why defines what? I like that.
For sure, I like it.
So how about we go into one of the clips and we can see, and I'll set up the clip for a little bit.
Okay.
So I've been investing more and more time in this practice called creative epistemology. It's just this weird, it's like a really interesting hobby, where you talk with strangers. Sometimes you have like a just like a chair and maybe like a table in front of you, and you can just sit and talk to people who come up to you. Sometimes you go up and talk to people in a much more casual setting and just have a conversation with them.
Do you have a little sign or anything that you put out?
Sometimes I have a sign. Sometimes I just have it without any sort of recording devices whatsoever. I just have a conversation with people. Whatever it is, anyone can do it, and it's really just an issue of passing aside the what and getting to the why.
Yeah.
Like understanding, hey, I understand that you have this belief. I'd really like to understand more about how you came to it and how you determined that it's true.
Yeah,
can we talk about that?
I've done that on my own, but I usually have a little sign out or something saying, ask an atheist or atheist materials or something like that. So people at least know what they're getting into when they sit down, but they still do sit down and talk to me, and it's interesting, always an interesting conversation. And some people just come by and pick up the material and go on. Maybe they're going to take it back to their preacher and ask him what he thinks about it. I don't know. But it's always interesting.
Cool. So a lot of people are trying this out. It's not just me. It's actually people from all around the country. And it's catching on. More people are doing it every week. The clip that I got set up for you is with one of the really prominent figures in critical epistemology right now. His name's Reed. He's from California, and he interviews people in a pretty good production setting. Like, he has a table, he's got chairs out, he's got action cameras pointed at both people.
Yeah.
And this is a clip from one of his latest videos where he's talking to a fellow named Kevin about what he believes and why.
Okay, we're ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
So, do you have any supernatural beliefs?
I guess so. I'm Catholic.
Catholic?
So.
All right. Cool. We can talk about maybe the Catholic God, if that's all right?
Yeah.
Cool. So, first, could I get a sense of your confidence that this God is real and true, say, on a scale from 0 to 100?
0 to 100?
Yeah, if 100 is like the confidence that if I drop this, it'll fall. Where would you be?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of just a hard question because, like, I feel pretty confident, but, like, you're never 100% sure, and that's kind of part of believing in something like that.
Okay, so,
it's
like,
kind of what's called the faith.
So, like, a high 90 or something?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd say so.
Gotcha. So, what gets you to this such high confidence? What's the main reason why?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of like, just the odds of everyone being here, the odds of, like, people, like, even being on the planet, like, I don't know, just crazy things happen, And I think it's because there's a higher power looking out for people.
Okay. So you're saying it's crazy odds that we're here.
Well, and, that's just like part of it, yeah. I guess.
Okay. Is that a reliable way to come to this belief? Just appealing to the odds of it, of everyone being here, stuff like that?
I don't think that's reliable, but
okay.
I don't know. There's just it's kind of hard to formulate it, I guess. I don't know.
No rush.
That's part of it, though.
Anyway, oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the guy was pretty confident.
Yeah, pretty confident. Not 100%, but his main point, at least for the beginning of the conversation, was that, you know, this doesn't seem likely with, you know, everyone existing and plants existing, et cetera, that this couldn't have happened without, you know, God. And that was his main reason. And note that Reed went directly into, so he understands that he's a Catholic. He didn't ask questions about Catholicism, didn't ask questions about the, you know, logistics of the dogma, any of the minutiae of this thing. He asked them, most importantly, what's your evidence? Why do you believe it? What's convincing you specifically? And is that reliable? And after Kevin gave his explanation of, well, I just don't think it could be true for chance that we're all here, more or less, Reed immediately followed up and said, do you think that reasoning is a reliable way to come to a true conclusion? And immediately Kevin says, oh, no, I don't think it's reliable, but... And then he's had some time to ruminate maybe about the idea.
Uh-huh.
And Reed's not pushing the point. He's letting him think. And I think it's just a really cool back and forth that's going on right now. What do you think right now for his reasoning of why there's a God? Do you think that's a convincing reason? Do you want to talk about that for a bit?
Well, sure. Of course, to me, it's an argument from ignorance. Just because you don't know what causes something doesn't mean you can immediately leap to the cause that you prefer, you know, out of the selection of causes. I mean, it could be the reason that we're here is because pixies created us, or the god of Islam created us, or evolution, or anything. It could be any one of a dozen different reasons. Aliens could have brought us here, created us here. But all of a sudden, you know, says, I don't see any other way that it could have happened except for a God. And, of course, his default answer is God, because he was raised with God filling that role. I mean, from his earliest childhood.
There's probably a big factor of how he was raised that comes into his whole set of belief. I would say, you know, when someone says, I can't look at the world and imagine that it was just a coincidence, therefore it must be this one specific answer.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand looking at the world and not being unsatisfied with saying that this is just a coincidence. But
right.
I don't know how it justifies getting to the final conclusion that it was one specific
He makes two great leaps. One of them is that from I don't know to what did it to it had to be a God. And two,
right.
The great leap from a God did it to my God did it, when there's like 10,000 different gods that people worship in the world. I mean, and nobody ever bothers to fill in those gaps.
And he doesn't really have any more evidence other than the fact that, you know, that's just the God that he knew about
right.
the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is the most unsatisfying answer. It's an unsatisfying answer that he has from science.
Right.
We don't know yet.
Right.
We're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and
what's your opinion? What do you think?
Well, just a second, I give it to you. I just want to make sure that the audience doesn't think that I'm calling the person who was talking ignorant, because I said he was using the argument from ignorance. We're all ignorant of something. I'm ignorant of brain surgery. I don't know anything about brain surgery. It doesn't mean I'm a stupid person or uninformed. He doesn't know anything about gods, but he's placing God in there. He doesn't know anything about how we got here, per se. But he's jumping to a conclusion. He's ignorant on that topic and jumping to a conclusion. I just wanted to make that clear. Heather?
It's a little hasty to be able to say, hey, I don't like this answer that you got, therefore it must be
right.
the final answer.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you make that jump?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a couple of things I will say. In terms of, when we think about this in terms of health, for those of us who work in health, we talk often, especially with mental health, we talk about how people need to meaning make. So they'll make leaps like that. They, if they don't know the answer, they'll make a leap to try to provide some kind of meaning that brings them comfort. And I think really if people could just admit that and say, well, I'm making a leap, mm-hmm. or if they just owned up and said, actually, I don't have any real good reason. It's just what I want to believe. Then they might be, then that's a, you know, they're in a position where they have a powerful enough stance to say, you know, I have no proof. I don't really, it doesn't really matter. This is what I'm choosing. But people can't seem to want to do that.
No.
They feel like they need to try to back up that.
A lot of times they don't realize that's
correct.
What they're doing.
Yes.
It's a dichotomy of beliefs. They believe something, but they don't really know why, so they just jump on it and feel justified because those are the only two options they know, like evolution or God, mm-hmm. and they don't understand evolution, but they think they understand how God works from all their years in the church.
Yeah.
Right. It also feels good to have an answer. Compared to not having an answer. It's just a really interesting thing. I think, what was that you said, Heather? It's just the need to make a meaning.
To make meaning. So, and this, you see this a lot in mental health, particularly in situations where people will stay in abusive situations, for instance, or they don't have a reason for a person's behavior, so they will make a meaning out of it. And Dad, if I was talking about this, this comes from early childhood. You know, we have most of our attachment formations before the age of 3. And so we are taught that. And so that's what they do is they leap on trying to make a meaning out of it rather than just saying, I don't know, I don't care, this is what I'm choosing.
Yeah, it's like you say, why are there rocks to a little kid? Mm-hmm. Well, you can take rocks and throw them in the water. That's what they're, mm-hmm. you know, that's their purpose. Mm-hmm. So they make a purpose for it even though they're, you know, they don't understand that it may be other purposes for them,
yeah.
or no purpose at all.
Right. And I think as long as they don't necessarily have to have evidence for why they believe what they believe, as long as they're willing to say, I don't know, or you know, but a lot, most people don't want to admit that they don't know,
right.
so they'll start
yeah.
to make all kinds of justifications, right. like mm-hmm. you were saying. So
yeah. I find a lot of people do that about heaven.
Yes.
You know, the Bible is very skimpy on what heaven is like, but if you talk to some believers, they'll give you details
yes.
about what they're expecting.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, there was one woman says, "When I die, I'm going to ride to heaven on a white winged horse." Mm-hmm. You know, really? Where does it say that? But that's what she believes, and who knows why. Anyway, we got another clip. Did you want to go to the second one? Do you want to talk about it
sure.
first?
How about we go? Well, how about we go? Well, I just wanted to note one quick thing. Street epistemology that Reed is using in this conversation
uh-huh.
is just a situation of asking thought-provoking questions and getting like a genuine answer. He's not trying to lead him into any direction.
Uh-huh.
He's not trying to coerce him into atheism. He's really just trying to read the street epistemologist Houston right at this moment. It's just giving Kevin a moment to reflect on his own belief.
Sure.
And a lot of people never get the opportunity to do that.
Never take the opportunity to do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the beautiful thing is about this practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're giving someone an opportunity to actually understand that they believe something very deep to themselves or meaningful to themselves, but never have the chance to, like, express it to another person who's going to try to take an objective stance or an unbiased point of view, like someone who doesn't already drink the Kool-Aid,
right.
someone who doesn't already going to agree with you or punish you if you don't have the same belief. And
right.
when they're explaining themselves, they're hearing what the word's coming out of their own mouth, and you'll hear in the second clip, there's a lot of times where he's talking, he's like, wait a second, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Wait. It's hard to express it.
Yeah.
And the frustration comes from just not being able to realize that you never really gave what you honestly believe, the critical thought that was necessary. And that's what street epistemology is for. Just giving a chance to give people a chance to critically assess their own beliefs.
Yeah.
How about we go into the second clip?
Sure. And here we go.
There's like other signs, I think, that like whenever anyone is really in need, I feel like a lot of times there's something that comes along that's out of the blue to sort of help them out, or that's been in my experience quite a few times. And like it's done like there's a lot of bad things that's come along with religion and stuff, but also I think the good far outweighs the bad, because like there's just so much good that it brings that people don't talk about, and it's like kind of a unique kind of thing that like it has a unique effect on people where like it can save people's lives just through believing this. I don't know.
Okay. So just to recap what I'm hearing you say, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
That you see like these other signs, like where if someone's in need, then something comes along, and you know maybe some bad things happen with religion, but the good far outweighs the bad. And are you saying like religion can do this in a unique way? Like religion is the only way to like fill these people's needs?
For some people.
For some. Okay.
Yeah.
And how does this stuff relate to whether or not the God is actually true? Is this a reliable way to have confidence that it's true? Just seeing when someone's in need, something comes along?
No, but I don't think that's... I don't know. It's like a different way of thinking. I don't think you're ever going to get, like... Or, I mean, I guess that's not true.
Would it matter for you if this was true or not?
Would it matter?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to say that there's going to be a reliable way to know that's true.
It's hard to say if there's a reliable way?
Yeah, because there's no way. That's like faith. It's like a whole different way of thinking. Like, you can't disprove it just as much as you can't prove it.
Gotcha, yeah. But it's a faith thing. It's a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the end of that one.
Cool. So I thought it was just a really...
Go ahead.
Am I going on?
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought it was a cool understanding that he threw out the virtue excuse, more or less. Like, hey, religion's good for a lot of people. It can obviously be used to help a lot of people in a bad situation. And while these are all true, I thought it was a really good route for Reed to focus on, okay, well, even that that's the case, how does that relate to it leading to a true conclusion? Because the goal of street epistemology is to focus on why someone has a belief towards, you know, them having very high confidence that that belief is actually true. And it's really easy to get deviations or tangents that get off that line of, this is what you believe to be true, how did you get there?
Right.
And so it's really easy when a person virtue signals or says, well, this is really useful for me, or I need this because I'm an alcoholic and it's been helping me from getting out. Like, those are all great, and there's definitely ways to approach those kinds of conversations, but really what's the impetus of that conversation is, how did you arrive to the belief that this was true? And it was just a really good move on his part to keep that conversation focused on there.
Yeah. Most people don't actually arrive at a decision on that. It's just something that they've accepted from being indoctrinated all their life. When I was 5 years old, I already had several years of my mom telling me about God and being good and learning how to pray and everything, even before I went to kindergarten. I mean, it's really hard to even realize that you should think about some of these things that you've been brought up to believe, that some of them may not be what you're told. And of all the religions around the world, none of them, I mean, they all can't be right. And they can all be wrong, especially when you're talking about miracles and magic, which most of them base their beliefs on, the fact that miracles happened a long time ago.
I also feel like he was a little bit pleading with himself. I've been through the situation where I was very faithful, and in the process of getting out, I was making, you know, compromises with myself. I was saying, like, okay, maybe I don't believe it, but I'm still getting a lot of good values out of this. I'm still being taught some pretty good morals out of here. Maybe I'll just stick with Proverbs and more or less just move on from there. I still think there's some wisdom there that can help other people.
Yeah,
maybe I'll just continue to call myself a Christian and be a good example for other people.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to have a religion to get good morals. I mean, all you need is human compassion and empathy and a desire to do as little harm as to your neighbor as you possibly can. And the reason to do that, the reason for that is to build a good society, a flourishing society. You don't have to have a magic man in the sky dictate that you be good and also dictate that you kill gay people. A lot of people forget all the bad dictates. They just look at religion and say, look at all the good dictates. No, go through your Bible. I'm one of the Atheists are mostly people made up of ones who will tell you that you should read the Bible. I mean, we're not sitting here saying don't read the Bible. It's just too good a message. No, read it. It's not that good a message.
What anyway. Do you think,
Heather?
Huh? Oh yeah.
He said something that I think it comes back to if he's not looking at truth, if he could just admit that the truth wasn't a factor, and he said you can't prove that it's not true.
Right, any proving more the negative.
Yes, so yeah. Proving the negative. So mm-hmm. I think there's some merit to if it brings you comfort, but not relying, but not trying to argue a truth factor in it. I think if you stick, you know, so, and I think that that's where people trip up. I have to agree with that. People trip up with that. If you can just look at it and say, I'm using this as a comfort factor for myself, the mm-hmm. same way I use poetry or good yeah. coffee or anything else.
Yeah. One of the things I like to tell them, though, is that you want to have hope, right?
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, I want to have hope. You don't have to have religion for hope either. You don't need religion to have hope that there's an afterlife, that you can live forever. You can do all of that without the strictures brought to you by religion. Go ahead and hope. Nobody's
right.
stopping you.
You can have poetry, coffee, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
beliefs, love,
yeah.
family, all the good
virtues
of life. And
you can do it for good reasons.
Without religion.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Heather? I know you got
to
leave.
I do have to leave. I think that's it for me. I'm going to have to go. I want to thank the both of you for letting me be on the show. And I'm going to tag along for a couple of weeks while I learn my trade in here. So I'm looking
Heather's
forward to
new
it.
Heather's a new DJ, so she'll watch for her show coming what night?
It'll be Saturday nights from 4 to 5.
Saturday afternoon.
Saturday
What's
afternoon.
What's it all about?
Okay.
I'm going to be doing, it's going to be called, at the moment, the tentative name is Knoxville Community Wellbe. It's a community, I'll be bringing in community organizations to talk about what they're doing, particularly in East Knoxville, because I focus on health inequalities, but it's going to be a general come in and talk about what you're doing in East Knoxville and the work that you're doing in the community, and also, you know, letting them pick some songs around well-being. We'll see how we get on, but I'll be doing some interviewing, some music playing, maybe some spoken word. Who knows?
Well, sounds real good.
Wow, cool.
Thank you all for letting me be on. I'll be back next week if you'll have me.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And with that, we probably should go on into a break. It's the bottom of the hour, and that's the time for a break. So we're going to play a song. I haven't even picked out the song. Woe is me. Here's one. No, it wasn't. Stronger Than Jesus. I like that one. So here we go.
Oh, I like that one.
And we'll be back in a minute.
Don't you know love is true? disaster, standing in line, just looking for a little fun. Love is a fire, a hot, hot blaster. We're the Belgians burning in the Congo sun. We're the leaders, trusting strangers.
Listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on Wozo 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
And welcome back. This is Doubter 5 and Wombat on the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LP. Today is March 7th, 2018. It's 7:30 now, so if that's not the date and time you're listening to this, then you're listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast. Let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002 by yours truly. We're in our 15th, 16th year now. ASK has over 800 members now, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheists.org. Or you can go to meetup.com and search for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. And if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one, start one. Also, you can join ASK in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday. And we're meeting at the Black Horse Grill in Bearden, off of Kingston Pike near UT. And where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody is welcome as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sunday. And if that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. There's also a non-church church, or non-God church, called the Sunday Assembly. It started in England just a few years ago and now has spread around the world. Sunday Assembly is a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in gods, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month, however, it's on the fourth Sunday. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or just find like-minded people to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archives of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV show or this radio show, just come to an ASK meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host and or guest. And we're back to the topic at hand. Ty, you want to get us back into it again?
Yeah, the topic at hand isn't, I don't care what you believe. Atheists don't care what you believe. We care about why you believe it.
Well, I do, and I can talk about that at great length. But it is, I do agree, it's more important about why you believe things.
You know what, I'll even say, even as an atheist myself, I can't speak for everyone, because we only agree on one thing as atheists.
Uh-huh. Right.
I do care to an extent what people believe. What I've just found is that the reason why they hold that belief
uh-huh.
is way more important, because it's the fundamental reason that fuels the what. The why is the reason why they hold on to the what, as Kevin put it.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. think there's a lot to that. To illustrate this, I got some clips from a fellow street epistemologist named Reed. He's situated in California. Like I said, street epistemology has been done all around the nation. And he's talking to this guy named Kevin, who is a self-disclosed Catholic. The reason why Kevin believes in God is because he can't find a better reason for why things seem to exist.
Uh-huh.
And when confronted with, did he think that was a reliable way to come to that belief? He balked, and he said, you know what, and closer thought, I don't think it's reliable, but there's other reasons why I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave him the moment to speak, and he said, well, you know what, my faith brings me a lot of peace, really comforting, to help a lot of people, gets a lot of people out of bad situations, and what I've seen, a lot of people get out of bad situations when they're put in a really hot spot.
So he's a pragmatist.
Sure. Yeah. And I think he's saying two things. I think he's saying, one, it brings a lot of utility to me as far as emotional stability.
Uh-huh.
And two, it can't just be a coincidence that, you know, good things happen to people who need good things to happen to them. And again, Reed asked them, well, do you think that's a reliable reason to get to a conclusive true statement or like a true understanding of whether or not a God exists?
Mm-hmm.
And again, Kevin was like, well, I don't think there's even any possible reliable way to get to that kind of conclusion. And so Reed asked him immediately after that, I was like, well, then does that justify a really high confidence in a God? And so that's where we kind of left off on that question. Because Kevin's really now thinking about his beliefs, thinking, does he
yeah.
have a good reason? Does he
yeah.
not have it? But what's more important is Reed's not asking questions about the tenets of Catholicism. He's not asking questions mm-hmm. about his Bible. It's not a Bible study. He's asking him specifically why he believes it. And I
right.
think that's so much more important than asking
yeah.
what he believes.
And it gets right down to it. That's the purpose of our show. That's the purpose of the TV show and the blog and the book I wrote. And I want people
you have
to...
have a TV
to...
show?
Very
you
good.
You never tell me
that. That was good. Good one, Wombat. But I try. I do try. But we try to get people to think about it a little bit. They have all these preconceived notions, or actually planted notions in their brain that they don't give a second thought to. And if we can just joggle that just a little bit, maybe get them to think and be able to come to terms with why they believe certain things. Even if it's a pragmatist approach like your friend, at least that will take them a little bit closer to reality.
Right.
I've had some pens made up with some atheist sayings on it. And one of them, the one I hand out now currently, says, "Doubt your
there
doubt.
No soul.
Yeah, your doubt is not God trying to test you. It's reality trying to come up and break you from the chains of your religious beliefs, or break you from your faith." Because faith is not a good epistemological tool. It's not a good reason to believe something. If you come back and say,
why is that the case?
Well, if you
why
say I believe something on faith, you're admitting, you're tacitly admitting that you don't have a good reason to believe that, or evidence to believe that. Because if you did, you would use the good evidence as your reason. You would also give good reasons for your belief or evidence. But if you don't, you fall back. Well, I just have faith because, you know, I don't have any real good argument for it. And that's basically what they're
saying.
But
we did hear Kevin mention a couple of times that faith is sort of like this different thinking process for him.
Yeah.
That's how he justifies using it to come to a true conclusion.
But
the way how I see faith, and I think the way how Reed, you know, was trying to hint at is that you can use faith to believe in anything.
Right, you can.
And if you can use faith to believe in anything, mm-hmm. you can does that necessarily mean that it always leads to a true conclusion?
Right.
Because I could have faith that I could fly to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I could have faith that my cat's actually a dog. I can have faith that my mom doesn't love me. I could have faith that my car is actually a giraffe. Mm-hmm. That name is Horace. You know,
I actually give out preprinted business cards on that has a smiley face on it, and it says, "Faith is awesome. With faith, you can believe anything." And I think it just goes right over the heads of some of the people that I give it to.
That's too subtle.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've had Christians come to the atheist meetup group in order to try to proselytize us. And I'll give them that card, and they'll say, yeah, faith is awesome. The message is lost on them.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Also, there's another thing that I think gets lost on people is, and I think Reed will ask this question in the next clip, is, do you care if your beliefs are true? He either asked it in the next clip or he just asked it in the last clip. But a lot of people, when confronted with a potential reality that will disagree with what they believe, they will ignore it. And I've talked to people who are asked, do you care if your beliefs are true? Let's say, for example, and I'm not saying this is the case, that your God isn't real. Is that something you would want to know immediately? And they'll say no. If my God's not real, I don't care. I don't care at that point. That puts more emphasis on they don't care if things are true or not. They just want to believe for the sake of believing because of the benefit it gives them. And that puts them in their own little reality where they don't care about the greater reality that we all share. They just care about their own. And they want to be
their bubble, their faith bubble, as it were.
Faith bubble is a great way to play it. Yeah, exactly. Kevin's pretty good. He's actually, when confronted with that question, he does say he does care about what other people believe. In fact, how about we get through that last clip now?
Sure. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah, I'm all ready.
What do you mean by faith?
Faith, I feel like, I don't know if this is like how it actually is, but how I guess I think about it is it's kind of a different way of thinking. Like, you can know facts, you can know signs and stuff, but faith is like a whole another part of your brain that's working.
Okay.
I don't know.
How would you use it in like a sentence, for example? Like, could someone use faith to believe in something? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe, can we talk about how, is faith a reliable way to come to this belief?
I wouldn't say reliable. I don't think there's anything reliable about it, but...
Could someone use faith to believe in anything and make it true?
For them, I guess, yeah.
For them.
Yeah, it could be their truth. If they believe it hard enough, then it's true in their head.
Are you saying that just the mere belief in something makes something true?
No, but I'm saying... If someone truly believes that 1 + 1 = 3, that's their truth, whether it's true or not. In their head, that's the truth. I'm just saying, like, their line of thinking, that's the truth.
And by their truth, do you mean it's actually true? Or it's just their kind of belief or opinion?
I wouldn't say that it's actually true, necessarily.
Okay. So faith, people can use faith to come to beliefs, but it might not necessarily be true.
Yeah, that's why it's called faith.
I'm still trying to understand, would you want to have reliable ways to come to a belief like this God?
I guess, but how would you do that? How do you have reliable ways?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. But if there are no reliable ways to come to it, should someone still hold the belief?
I'd say so. What do you mean?
Like, what is a reliable way to come to a belief like this?
I don't know. I don't know if there's ever really a reliable way. Like, unless if, like for Christianity, and for example, if, like, Christ does come back or something, and he's, like, able to prove that he's Christ.
Yeah, that's a good
then
reason.
Then there'd be a reliable way.
Like, if Jesus walked up to the table right now.
But, like, at the moment, you're going off of people's interpretation of everything that did happen years ago, and a lot of them aren't very reliable people, so that's kind of part of it, picking apart the parts that, I don't know.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, we've gone past our time. Don't
Sweet.
Let me keep you.
Yeah, okay.
But, thanks so much for the conversation.
Can I take a card?
Sure.
Sweet.
Have a great day.
One comeback I would have to say about what he says is it's true for them. Well, yeah, but we all have to share this reality. And Friedrich Nietzsche once said that a casual stroll through a lunatic asylum shows that faith does not prove anything. I mean, all of the people in lunatic asylum have their own personal truth, that all of their rantings and visions and hearing audio hallucinations are real to them. Well, I don't necessarily call that a good thing. But he apparently accepts it as, you know, like, sure, that's fine, no problem. Well, that's fine, except, you know, where we have to share the world with them. And where they, well, I won't go into them trying to pass legislation because of what's true to them, making everybody else live under the same strictures of their religion, like no alcohol on Sunday and not being able to buy tools on Sunday, you know, just on and on and on. Huh?
I didn't know that was a thing.
There are some blue counties that you can buy a hammer on Sunday, but you can't buy a nail because they figure that if you're going to buy a nail, you're going to use the nail. You need a nail.
Wow.
But you can buy a hammer and not use it till next week. So, you know. But yeah, that's how ridiculous it gets. You know, when you operate on a religious system going by faith because it's true to you, and then try to mandate that truth on all your fellow citizens.
Okay. Well, let me at least start off with an apology. While you're playing the clip, I'm monitoring the audio on my side so I can keep up with the conversation. And I do that by putting headphones over earbuds that also are my mic at the same time. So with those two things combined, it sounds like I'm causing an echo effect.
Yeah, that may be. If you don't hear it on the recording itself, yeah, that's probably the problem. You'll hear it if you want to. Well, I can try to get the clip right off the phone and put it on the podcast so that we don't have that problem on the podcast, but I'm not sure I can get it off my phone for that purpose. You may have to send them to me through an email.
That. Huh? True. I can definitely do that. I can definitely do that.
We can fix it in post.
And I apologize to the listeners for that.
Yeah.
For sure. Classic motto.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did think it was really cool because what you ended up with was a guy who, what you started off with was a guy who's very confident that his God exists. He's, you know, absolutely 100% or near 100% confident that he's a Catholic and that God exists. And he gives out a reason. He hears the reason. He starts to think about it and notices it doesn't necessarily have as much weight as he expected. So he throws up the next reason, realizes that doesn't necessarily lead to a true conclusion. It's just good things that are about his religion that gives him personal benefit, but doesn't necessarily lead him towards a truth, necessarily.
Yeah.
So,
or at least a truth they can share with other people.
Exactly.
Or everybody
else.
And
now he's left in a quandary where he's like, well, it doesn't seem like there is any reliable way to come to this. And I guess that's why I have faith. And when he talks about what faith means, he can't come up with a good definition for faith, what it means to him. And so he's just like, I don't know, maybe there's just not a good reason to hold it. And then he gets confronted with a question of then why he's so confident that a God exists. And I think he understands that he doesn't have a good reason. The goal of street epistemology isn't necessarily to turn someone into an atheist. It's just to give them a chance to think about what they believe. And I think that's what really happened in this conversation. He realizes the reasons that he's holding onto the belief. The why that's keeping him connected to the what is not very strong. And what you notice was you didn't have to tackle any of the things about Catholicism. You didn't have to talk about anything about sacraments. You didn't have to talk about the tomb that Jesus was buried in. You didn't have to bring up doubt about, you know, the different versions of the Holy Book and the text. You just specifically discuss the why, and with that question, the why question, with him realizing that he has a lot of doubt in the reasons why he holds on to the belief, he leaves the table most likely a lot less confident in his position and a bit more doubtful. And that's useful because he can hopefully use that as a means to either get better answers that he can use to help other people, or get rid of some of the beliefs that he doesn't have a good reason to hold on to, and then hopefully improve that way. Right. Either way, it's a good benefit.
And one thing I like to throw into this mix when we're talking about beliefs and why and all that is the cost of these beliefs. I wrote a whole article on that on my website, digitalfreethought.com, the blog. If you go there and look at the cost of belief, I mean, there people say, well, it doesn't cost anything to believe. Sure it does. It costs you at least 10% of your income if you tithe, according to the church schedule. It can cost you your life if you're a Muslim and you fly into a building and kill other people. It costs them their lives. I always like to bring up the example of that woman who killed her five children so that they wouldn't go to hell because they were all children, and the church told her children when they die go to heaven, and she drowned five of her children in the bathtub in order to keep them from roasting in hell because that's what was true for her. The cost of belief can be extremely high. Think about Jonestown, Guyana, where 900 people killed themselves and their children because of what was true to them. Heaven's Gate. I mean, we could go on and on.
Heaven's Gate. You know about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
We should talk about that on the next show. I'm just learning about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a much more fundamental issue with the harm that comes with a belief system that makes you disregard reality.
Yeah.
Let's say, just try to suspend any listener. Just try to suspend your disbelief for just one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's nothing after you die and that this is the one life that you have. We are situated in probably the most unfathomable miracle and phenomenon that any universe, any other timeline has never seen before. We are here and present in this moment for a facile moment of time, for a very short period of tangible space-time. We have this wonderful opportunity to learn as much as we possibly can, to love as much as we can, come to an understanding about how the world works, treat other people well, and just grow as people before we're stuck
out. Make the world a better place for the coming generations. I mean, that's purpose
right
there.
And we only have this opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And if we disregard that and say, well, I'll have a better life after this life, and that doesn't happen, you've wasted this amazing, wonderful opportunity to not just be alive, but to be a human being in this period of time, in like the most current timeline that we have right now, with all the technology that's encompassing upon us at the moment. This is amazing. This is a great chance. This is a wonderful opportunity. It's literally its own miracle. And I use that term in probably the most empathetic way possible. Like, this is amazing, unexplainable at the current moment circumstance of existence.
Right.
And why should we waste it on fiction? Right. Why should we waste it on anything
especially,
were told by some guy?
Yeah, especially if you let some religious leader shame you into being ashamed of being human, saying you're born in sin. Everybody is born in sin. No one escapes. You know, it's Adam and Eve who was the first created the original sin, and you inherited it, and you should be ashamed, and you must be forgiven, and must go through the Lord on your knees. I mean, you're starting with a slave collar in your life and trying to live your entire life knowing that you can't get out of that collar. It's just a shame. I mean, sin is a concept that is created by the church so that they can also sell you the cure for it and get your willing slavery, I guess. I can't think of a better word for it, throughout your life. Work for the church and do what they say and give them money and all so that they can intervene on your behalf, right? How many times has the Catholic Church tried to sell that? Indulgences. Yeah, if you got money, you can pay the priest and you can get forgiven on something, even if you haven't done it yet, then you can do it. I mean, the Catholic Church did that for centuries.
But here's the cool thing, even if you don't have any money, if you put all that aside, if you don't have any money, you still have libraries, you still have if you have access to the internet. To the internet, you still have camping, hiking. You have friends. You can find means of opportunity, work. If you have nothing, let's say you absolutely have nothing, you have the opportunity, at least in this country, and what's really wonderful about America is you have the opportunity to make something of yourself, to build something, and then to look back at all the things that you made and say, I made this.
Right.
It wasn't given to me. It wasn't part of some divine plan.
Right.
I bought this. I worked for that. I got this in my house. Mm-hmm. I learned how to build that. This is all mine, and I own it, and I work for it. And there's no greater satisfaction to building your own life and being responsible for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities that you miss.
And that's another cost.
It's another, all you.
Another cost of religion is you take all of that and give all the credit to the Lord. You didn't do anything. You're worthless without the Lord. It's almost like an abusive situation with an abusive spouse. You're not worthy of love. Only God can love you. You know, that type of thing. And He does it in spite of your sin. It's a terrible view of the world and of yourself.
This is a little tangential, but it's like exactly the same thing we're making. I was watching a video where there was a mother who was in a coma for 2 years. Her daughters and a doctor got together and finally had this new medicine to try out on this one woman specifically.
Yeah.
It was designed to activate her brain cells and make her give off enough hormones to activate a lot of her muscles and get over atrophy.
Uh-huh.
And in a period of a week on this new medicine, she was able to sit up herself. She was able to talk a little bit. She was able to smile.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to, try to walk around on her own merit. And this was after 2 years of being on a catatonic state.
Right.
And at the end of the video,
let me guess.
It's the girl saying, thank God for this miracle.
Yeah, thank you,
Jesus. And I'm like, no, hold on. God's the reason why your mom was in a coma for the first place. It's the doctors who work for it.
Right.
You know, I'm sure you guys have a reason to, believe that, because it's the only way you can comprehend what's been going on in your life, and I can't imagine the turmoil that you've been through. But I care more about the reason, not what you believe, but why you believe that God had anything to do with this, because from my perspective, God's the reason why your mom was in a coma in the first place.
Well, I mean, if you're going to give God credit for everything, also give Him blame for everything. And there's an awful lot of bad stuff in the world and in the Bible that you can lay at His feet. 1 minute left, so real quick, final words.
Okay, there's a quick video on YouTube about atheists who came out in an Egyptian television show. Egypt is very anti-atheist. You can actually get killed by doing that.
Yeah.
But I just give him props to that guy for doing so. He handled himself very well as he was being screamed at by the TV host and the imam that was apparently always there on the show. Just good props to you, sir. I hope you are safe in your country, and my best of luck to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Real. And from Larry, Daughter 5, this is a reminder saying don't sweat hell. Everybody's going to some other religion's hell. The only time to worry about it is when they prove it exists. And it would be nice if they proved that souls exist too, but they haven't. And it's been thousands of years. Anyway, so this is Larry, Daughter 5, and Wombat. Say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
And we'll see you next week, 7 o'clock, right here. Bye.
Listening to